Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
I'm Arthur.
Are you like 6'7"ing right now? What the fuck are you doing?
You were pointing at me to be like, go, so I started doing go with both hands.
You can't do the 6'7 thing, you're old.
I'm not. Do not tell this to people. I was weighing air with my different hands.
God.
What the fuck is this start?
Oh, we're back from the theater. We're actually getting back into a regular swing of things. There's a regular theatrical release, right? And wow. We went to see it. And then next week, you guys are going to hear two episodes of things that we pre-recorded ages ago from Fantasia, because they're getting theatrical releases next week.
I know. We're going to have Colony dropping on Monday.
Monday, yeah.
And then we're going to have Buddy dropping on Wednesday.
Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Or Thursday.
Yeah, most people won't have seen it on Wednesday.
You can listen to it.
Sure.
It's a non-spoiler episode. Who cares?
No, I think it's pretty spoiler heavy, honestly. Both of those are, so just keep that in mind.
I don't think so.
Okay. Ignore him. I do.
Wow. Fuck me.
Okay, so we are back home, and obviously, what was the big release this week? Haha. We've just been to see the latest installment in the Insidious franchise, which is Insidious Out of the Further, which is film 6, which I had forgotten that we'd gotten this far in this series.
I know. It's pretty cool. But also, in order to kind of like get ourselves back into the series, we watched all of them.
We did, yeah.
We watched all of them this week. And yeah. Now we have a fresh memory and actually a much, much better understanding of what this whole film meant.
Yes.
Because I feel like if you don't have a general vague story, even if you like watch recaps or something, it's going to definitely help you with this one, because there's implications that we are going to discuss.
There are. I will say, though, keeping that in mind, like, yes, there are things that you will kind of probably miss a little bit. There is something, though, that's sort of user-friendly about the Insidious franchise, where if you do happen to just watch one of them in the middle, you're not really... It's not that complicated.
No, it's not.
You know, you can figure it out. So if you haven't, if you've missed some of the sequels, or if you haven't seen something and you're like, ah, fuck, you're probably okay.
Yeah, and they also kind of, I mean, they don't explain you the whole thing, but there's like a 30-second sequence where they kind of like
quickly
run through of what happens.
Yeah.
Anyways.
There are like teeny tiny recaps within it, which I think work pretty well.
So as usual, we are going to do our usual format with... You know, a little bit of spoiler stuff. Mm-hmm. You're going to be warned about it, which is fine. But before that, I do want to say there is the Sacred Crypt Awards that are happening now. I think voting closes September 2nd, very, very soon, next week. And we have been nominated for Rising Star of the Year.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for nominating us, first of all. And now we just need to win, because there are other ones in there and I respect all of them. And also in other categories, there are other friends of ours.
Yeah.
Like Terrific is in there. And
Spooky Sips, I believe, is in there. And Skipper Scream, I think, are also in one or two different categories as well. So that's awesome.
So first of all, you should definitely check them out, because they have also been nominated. I think Terrific was nominated for Best Creator of the Year.
Creator of the Year.
Fucking cool, by the way. Great job.
Also, go listen to Brandon's stuff, because he has such an interesting format to the way that he runs the show. It's very cool.
So anyways, I'm going to put a link in the show notes at the bottom. Please cast your vote for us. That would be great in the Rising Star category.
Yay.
And now, without further ado... Oh, come on.
Oh, nobody's going to fucking vote for us now.
For fuck's sakes. I tried.
Why don't I kick us off with the IMDb synopsis, and then we can get into initial thoughts and a little bit of, you know, digs and stuff before we get into the actual meat of it.
Insidious synopsis.
My God. Oh boy. Someone's in a mood
tonight.
This is
going to be one of those.
Gemma, a young mother raising her daughter in the house she grew up in, discovers she can travel into the Further, where she possesses an ability to bring back what lives there. To bring what lives there back to the real world. Sorry, that was one run-on sentence for the synopsis. There's only commas. There's no periods. It's weird.
One breath.
Okay. This gives away a lot of the story.
It's literally the trailer.
Yeah, I guess. Well, they don't really talk too much about what she can do in the trailer, I don't think, anyway.
They kind of mention it. They're like, oh, if you can go in, you can bring them back, type of thing in the trailer.
Wow, they really want to make sure people actually want to go see this one.
Yeah. It's also been a while. When was the last movie?
3 years ago.
Yeah, three years.
Red Door was 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. 3 years ago is like 15 years. yeah. in movie time.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, although apparently it takes place at like the exact same time.
It takes 2 weeks later after the Red Door movie. Is mentioned in the movie.
Yes. Yeah. We're confirmed. Like that is something that they talk about.
Which is great because the previous movies were basically all before the first movie. So they're all like secret prequels.
Yeah. The films 3 and 4 technically.
2 as well.
No. 2 is immediately follows the first one.
Yes, sir. The other.
Yeah. But 3 and 4 are set technically a few years or a couple of years before the events of the first and second film. So, yeah, if you don't realize that, I guess it's confusing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, there we go.
Okay. Initial thoughts coming out of this?
Okay. So, look, I know, like, a lot of this is marketing material and whatever, and I watched some of the promo stuff that they were putting out on socials, essentially, and, you know... one of them was like, oh, Lin Che was saying that when she read the script initially of this, she read it at like 2 o'clock in the morning and then it was so scary that she had to hide it in a closet in the basement.
Right.
Which, to be fair, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would probably also fucking chuck that shit out the window. so I get it because it's late and creepy. And
fair.
And what is it? Oh, yeah. James Wan was saying that it really reminds him of the scares that he was trying to build from the first movie.
Okay.
Which I think tracks.
Okay. So, yeah.
You know, there's certain things in it that I liked, certain things that were very PG-13, like we kind of discussed on the definitely. Way back.
These movies are very much for like a wide audience of people.
Exactly.
They have mass appeal, yes. really.
That's it. So was it scary? For me personally, not really. Maybe there was maybe one good jump scare.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it wasn't really scary. It wasn't also gory at all, if anything, which I know this is not a franchise that is known for it. But there are some that are...
The weird thing about...
Some of the monsters are kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. The makeup always looks great in these films as well, and like a lot of the effects and things. That aspect of it, though, that I will say is that surprisingly, even though... There aren't massively graphic kills in this movie. It's kind of gross, dude. There are like scenes where I'm like, ew, yuck.
Yeah, blech. This one, yes. This one's very gross more than anything else.
Yeah.
Do I think that it brought back some of the scares or the way that the first one was filmed? I think so, yes. You know, because we watched it literally Monday or Sunday, whatever. And I do think that it did a good job of kind of like not mimicking that, but you know what I mean. Anyways. It's all the same producers and stuff. So,
yeah.
Being inspired by it, let's put it that way.
True.
You know? So, yeah, it's a good installment of the franchise. What I do like about this is that the world building that they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to discuss more about it in the, you know, more spoilery bit side of things that doesn't reveal too much. But there is definitely something that they are building towards, and it is getting very interesting.
Okay.
What about you?
I think I'm more or less of the same mind. You know, I won't necessarily say that like in the James Wan universe of things and this like multiverse that he's created of all these different franchises, I'm not necessarily a huge, massive fan of all of them particularly. Like there are certain installments of this franchise that I like. I feel like I guess I like The Conjuring less overall.
Okay.
I don't know what it is about those movies, but they just... I don't know. They kind of get on my nerves for some reason. I'm just never a huge fan of them when they come out.
Yeah.
So there's those ones, you know, I like some of the Saw films, some of them I don't. It sort of, you know, it depends really. There are different like aspects of the franchises that I find interesting. But I find overall with this franchise, I guess what I appreciate about it is that they keep the tone pretty consistent throughout all of them, which is good. And yeah, coming out of this one, I was like, kind of pleasantly surprised. I was kind of going in with pretty low expectations because I'm normally like, okay, these are like, you know, you kind of churn these out and they can be fun a little bit, but I'm not necessarily expecting to get a ton out of them. But I was like, oh, okay, this pleasantly surprised me in its overall like story and performances. And again, to your point, how they're building on the lore that has been created in previous installments, and I think they're doing a pretty good job with the continuity of it.
No, they are. They are. It's very well done that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I appreciate that.
Cool.
Shall I do cast a little bit before we do digs and then we can, you know, talk about the other aspects of things? So, this film stars as the lead in this film, Amelia Eve, who plays the character of Gemma Hall, who's our lead.
She's also like not the lead in the whole franchise. We spoke about this. The moment Lin Shaye appears on the screen, we're like, yay, clap
yeah,
hands.
Yeah, we all know.
She's like Avengers level at this point. You
yeah,
know?
She. Yeah, when she has to make an appearance in every film, because if not, you're like, is this even an Insidious movie? I don't think it is.
Well, because there is a whole world and lore that is being built, which yeah. we're going to discuss.
Okay, yeah.
It all makes sense.
Then we have the character of Maya Hall, who is Gemma's daughter, played by Island Austin, is the actress's name. Lin Shaye, of course, as we mentioned, plays the always fabulous Elise Rainier, who appears in every single installment of this franchise.
She's the only one that has appeared in every single movie.
Now, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I was going to say there could have been three people, but I'm going to talk about that later because I'm a little bit upset about that. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, we have the character of Cyrus Lamb, who makes an appearance in this film, played by an actor named Sam Spruill. Brandon Perea, who a lot of people will know from Nope, I think, mm-hmm. plays the character of Nick Mendoza, who is Gemma's boyfriend. And then we have Macy Richardson Sellers, who plays the character of Claire, who is another person who becomes involved in helping with the further of it all. Like, there's always someone who helps. So she is helping yeah. in this one.
You just say it.
Yeah. And then we have a few other, that's it, like, side characters. One thing I did actually notice is that there is a character by the name of Lester, who's not really named in the film, but he's old and creepy and gross.
Is that one of the three?
Correct.
Okay.
Who I, you know, was looking at during the course of filming, and I was like, God, who's this guy? And why does
he
look
looks very familiar.
Very familiar. And I just double checked, and he earlier this year starred in Passenger as the passenger.
What?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's why he looks very familiar from recently, because we saw that movie a few months ago.
Cool.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Okay. So that's it. Are we going to do some digs before we get into things?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
That's how it works.
You keep doing this to me. It's just mean.
I'm kidding. I'm going to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. I would rate this, dig this movie.
Yeah.
As a probably, I don't know, man, like six.
I love that you're about to say it and then you're like, eh.
No, it's just like I'm trying to think of the other movies we've rated. And
yeah.
I think the problem with our rating scale is that the difference between a number to the next is so vast.
Oh, it's,
you know what I mean?
Okay, so this is something that we've talked about because it ourselves, just like amongst the two of us, because it's really hard. Most of the time, I will say, I'm not always rating a film coming out of it and being like, okay, now in the grand scheme of things, it's like, how good of a film was this? I'm rating it as this much. I find more often than not, I wind up rating things based on my enjoyment level
yes.
of them, which I guess, considering what we're doing here and what we're talking about, kind of makes sense.
Yeah, so. No. We are going to make a proper rating scale that I already have plans for, and we've discussed a little bit, and it's going to be much more precise. But that being said, Insidious out.
Out of the further.
Of the further.
Yes.
If we're talking kind of like enjoyment level and not any kind of scariness or whatever it
sure.
is, and the fact that there's good, a lot of good things in this movie, I would say it's like a like a 5.5,
yeah.
6. I don't want to give it a 5 because it's better than this, but I don't think it's like high as 6. Let me tell you, the majority of people I think will probably be rating it as good if they had to. I would probably rate it a little bit lower.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 5.5.
I am the same. Because you said 6 at first, and I was like, I don't know. I think I'd go a teeny bit lower
yeah.
than that. But yeah, no, 5.5 I think is pretty solid. It, you know, does a lot of fun things. Like we said, it does expand on certain lore in an interesting way.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, like, is it kind of exactly what you expect it to be? I mean, yeah, sort of.
Yeah, it is. That's the thing about this is that, yes, it does make it different. But if you think about actually the core of what's happening, it is very much a similar, simple formula,
yes.
right? Is that something happens to someone and then
who
they
has
go...
special abilities.
Some kind of special abilities.
Yeah.
And then they go into the further and then they come back and they figure it out. And that's how the movie ends. So,
and you know, things get locked away, but do they? Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's very, yeah.
Which is actually something we're going to talk about a little bit towards the end.
Yeah.
Is... there is a very interesting implication of the post-credit scene
mm-hmm.
that has to do with the previous movies and the world building that we were discussing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's going to be interesting.
All right. So we may as well get into that.
That's right.
But before we do, If you are listening and you are enjoying what you're hearing, first of all, thank you very much. And second of all, if you would like to rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening on, sometimes you can only rate, you can't review. That's totally fine. If you can, that would be fabulous. It really, really helps us kind of get the show out in front of a bigger audience, and we appreciate it. And our resident ghoul, whose name is Gary, because I couldn't think of another name for him, poor guy, is going to dig a grave in your honor in order to, you know, he'll personalize a tombstone for you. He'll do all the things for you.
Working hard.
I know. That shit's expensive.
I know.
Like, you're welcome. It's free. So, Gary, get over here and, you know, give everybody the spoiler warning.
You've been warned. Spoilers ahead.
So, as mentioned earlier, in this particular case, the character that causes all of this to happen is, of course, the character of Gemma Hall. She is a single mother who lives with her young daughter, Maya. They live in the house that Gemma grew up in. And the cold open of the film shows us that allegedly her mother, or Gemma's mother, Clara, was suffering from... Not Clara, sorry. I don't remember what her name was. Anyway, was suffering from potentially mental...
Ingrid.
Ingrid, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm confusing two people's names. Ingrid was suffering from mental health issues and appears to have, at some point, I think maybe been abusing substances. And
so you see, I don't think that's what happened.
Well, that's what... Nick mentioned something at some point, and I don't think she actually did. I think that was what was implied, and that's maybe what... Gemma assumed.
Right, yes.
Because her mother was acting so erratically.
Yeah, because the beginning of the movie, it is from Gemma's perspective as a child.
Yes.
That she comes home and her mom is like really kind of fucked up.
Yo, definitely.
Really, you know, she's like super scary. I legit thought at the beginning that she was a ghost.
Oh, you thought she was already dead, eh?
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that's how bad she looked. She was not, but
I know, but I understand what you mean. I kind of thought that as well.
Yeah, that's it.
And then that's it. You know, Gemma undergoes this horrible trauma in which her mother again appears to chase her around with like a kitchen knife and try to kill her, and then proceeds to kill herself in the bathroom. Like, that's a whole thing that happens, and her kid basically witnesses this. So obviously, grows up with a lot of unresolved trauma. And does not realize, as the characters in these Insidious films never do, that she has a particular ability to do what many other characters in this franchise can do, which is that astral projection ability that she has. But she has hers with a caveat of an additional level of ability.
Yeah, that she's special that way because she can bring the ghosts back.
Out of the further.
Yes.
That's the title of the movie. yeah. So she has the ability to do this. And does she know, there's a particular entity in the further that has been stalking her, tracking her and her family for probably a few generations now in order to try to find a way to bring itself or himself as well as many other entities out of the further and into the real world to basically, you know, kill everybody.
Yes.
So she has to work with people in the real world as well as, of course, have the help of Elise in the further in order to prevent a supernatural apocalypse of some sort.
Kind
of,
yeah.
From taking place. That's pretty much what it is.
It is. It is that.
Because I'm like, there are like demons and ghosts and things coming out, and I guess they would just kill everyone.
Yeah. They have a very interesting hierarchy / society in there of some kind.
So weird.
Because I think over the course of the movies that we've seen, the ghosts, I guess let's call them ghosts that way, they are more, I don't know if they're more powerful or more, you know what I mean? Like they have some kind of hierarchy to it, or they're trying to do something.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I see what you mean. I mean, I think the implication in this film is that the Cyrus character, who's like the head baddie in this one, is in life was a cult leader.
Yes.
And that has sort of transferred over into the afterlife as well in the further. And he has managed to gather more followers, even in this form, in order to, you know, go through with his dastardly plan.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, you know what? I might take it back. Everyone from the movies tried to get out into the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually.
That does seem to have been like a goal for most of them, from what I recall, at least at some point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that seems to have been it. Yeah. So yeah, okay. Let's kick off some favorites. Let's talk about that.
Well, for me, number one, and I was thinking about this during the movie and stuff. It is I don't know how to properly put it into words, but the use of, I guess, you know, the stage. I'm assuming it obviously is done on a stage.
Like the set design and stuff?
The set design. Yes, there is a word for that. Hey! Seriously, it is very smart how they've done that whole sequence that is obviously in the trailer when she's kind of like going through the pillow fort.
Oh, yeah.
And all that stuff. So that was pretty fucking crazy. Even though it's very
claustrophobic,
simple,
very stressful.
Very claustrophobic. But what you don't realize that maybe people watch the trailer and she's like, it's a fucking pillow fort. Just push the pillows. She can't.
No.
It's literally like metal walls behind it. She pushes really hard and she can't get through it.
Yeah, I appreciate that they take the time to show you that she's like beating on like the top of it and kicking it and doing stuff
yeah,
to
that's
be like,
it
will
with
not
her feet
move.
And everything. So that was really cool. There's a couple of scenes where they're kind of like in the further, but in a room.
Yes.
And it looks like, you know, kind of like the camera goes around or different views of perspectives. There's four walls, but then very seamlessly, the camera kind of like expands outwards and it goes not through a wall, but the wall just does not
exist
anymore.
It's like
the anymore.
Fourth wall dissolves,
and
basically.
And that's it. And it just opens up and they're actually in the middle of nothing. And there's just like four walls.
Yes.
You know, the fourth one being the roof.
I get you.
So like that way was, that was really, really clever how it was done. And even the three people that we also see in the trailer, just by the way, the three
creepy old people,
whatever it is. They're essentially the acolytes of Sirius, who's, you know, the cult leader in the demon world and whatever. And they need to hide for whatever reason that I'm not going to tell you. But again, it is very smart because they're not just like, I'm going to go hide in the closet. They're like hiding under the floors of the house, which is very hard to spot. So that was just a very smart way of using the set, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
That was like my number one thing because I still remember thinking about it.
Okay, so I'm piggybacking off of that because my first one was that this film brought me back and reminded me that I'm like, oh yes, Insidious really likes a nice house.
Yes.
And it really likes to utilize a nice house. A lot of the films, like obviously the Lambert's home and Lorraine's home in the first two films are pretty front and center for everything that takes place. And they use the space really well in all of them. And then by the time we get to the third film takes place in an apartment complex, so it's a little bit different, but they do spend a lot of time in there. So I think the set kind of does come into play just differently in that one.
I mean, that apartment was also fucking huge.
It was. Yeah, the condo, like the complex is very large, right? Like it's a big tower. Yeah. So that's interesting. And then in the fourth film, we get to spend a lot of time in Elise's house as well. Like we're introduced to it in film three, and then in film four, we spend more time there. That also gives us an opportunity to do it. And we do go back to her childhood home in that film. So she's able to, you know, kind of explore a new space that way. So we just, it's always like living quarters. And like, how unsafe can we make living quarters for the people who are in them and what they are experiencing? And I know in the fifth film, they spend a lot of time with Dalton at school. And so his dorm room is like the set for a lot of what's going on. So again, it's always, these movies take the space that should be safe for the characters and they make it unsafe by having all the scary things be happening while this person is asleep in their home, basically.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because that perspective in my head, as much as I agree with you, is, I feel like, a byproduct of Blumhouse. Because that's what they do. They just create as little of a expenditure on different sets, travels,
maybe,
whatever it is, right? Like, well, that's kind of like their motto. That's how they started in the past, is that it had to be a very contained movie. And what can you do with like one location?
Yeah.
Essentially, you know? So that's kind of what it is with them.
Yeah.
Number two for me, and this is where we can expand a little bit into the lore part that we kept talking about, is what they've done with it, right? So there is a reason and kind of like a story that builds throughout the movies, and you're gonna have to help me with this because you remember more than I do from the movies. So in the first one, we're introduced to essentially Lin Shaye. That's kind of like the character of Elise that we are introduced to.
Yes.
And then the second movie is also involves her, and then the third and the fourth one, this is really her backstory.
Yes, correct.
Right.
Yeah.
And everything that she experiences, and then we get to the Red Door. yeah. which is a whole kind of like thing and explanation of how the Further works mm-hmm. in a sense that, you know, yes, there's crazy demons everywhere and it's undead, but some of them are worse than others, like the lipstick face demon, yeah. you know, and other ones as well. But you can also technically lock them away, quote unquote.
Yes, and you can know? Find a way to close things up. And in the Red Door, it's through Dalton's painting that he's doing. Yes. That allows for that to happen, basically, is for them to, like, lock things. There are different ways of locking things, right? Elise figures out certain ways to do it with her, with the key face demon there. Is it called key face?
Yes.
Okay. With that one, she figures out a way to, that's it, get rid of it and do that. And then Dalton has, like, his own version yeah. of that as well in Red Door. And then in this one, there is another aspect of that too that kind of comes into play, and that has to do with them trying to get out, yes, but a character like Gemma is able to take them and be like, nope, uno reverso, get the fuck back in there. And then that's what she does,
right? So that's what I'm saying, is that there is a whole story and lore built behind this, because one of the characters, being Keyface, does come back in kind of an important way if you watch the post-credit scene, which we're going to discuss afterwards. Mm. But this is what I'm trying to say, is that this whole thing of the different demons and what they're trying to do and how they work and how our world works compared to what is in the Further
yeah.
and everything, all that correlates together. And through six movies, there is a congruency of some sorts of how things work, you know? So that's kind of like the world building that I loved a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think they are building towards something that might be bigger. I don't know if it's in the plans or anything, but yeah. I think there's something that they're building towards bigger, because every movie pushed more and more of things trying to come out or make it into our world. And this one is kind of like the one that did it to the max.
It got the furthest,
but
yeah.
didn't fully succeed, I guess. Yeah. Let's put it that way. So I think there's something happening here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, actually you might be right. I feel like we could be building to like a larger scale. Mm-hmm. Of some sort, or a larger part of the lore that will tie together. Something. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what they're going to do with it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But it is very interesting.
Yes.
And I like where they're going with this.
Yeah, fair. My second favorite thing, I think, is probably the use of lighting in the film.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of stuff there. And there are in multiple aspects of this franchise. You know, they do a lot with... what am I thinking of? Flashlights and like small lighting and things like that, obviously, that make a difference. I'm really sorry if you can hear the cat meowing in the background. But in this one, there's a lot of use of flashlights and small things to like, one, work with the scares themselves, but also just create that sense of, in the Further, when it's utilized, it's like to create that sense of like, oh wow, we are in like this vast open black expanse where you can't see anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's always how it was,
kind of. You know, I know it is, it's just that I don't know, I just like the way that they used it. And
I know it
one.
it was definitely great. I agree with you. I am just happy that for the first time in six movies,
yes,
they've bought a fucking functional flashlight. Holy shit, every single flashlight in the previous movies, it's like, oh yeah, let me shine it in my face, it's bright, and then the moment it shines somewhere, it's like the smallest beam of light of a fading battery that barely works. Like, come, I understand. I get it. It's for the obscuring
yes.
of the situation periphery. And everything. Yes. I get it. But, like, it worked really well here.
Yeah.
And you can actually see stuff.
True.
Properly. You know?
Yeah.
So, good job for replacing those batteries.
Well done, everybody. Okay, what's your third?
My third one is the fact that it is not always kind of like the same ability, because we've done already the whole thing of they can astral project
yeah.
and walk there and whatever it is, and they can get possessed. Yes, we know. It's been five movies.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
This one has a bit more of a power with the ability to bring some of those ghosts back.
And for some of the entities to be able to force that to happen.
Yes, exactly. So. That's it. I like that aspect. Because, again, it creates kind of like more of that world building and deeper lore of everything. But it also, for some reason, reminded me of X-Men. And it's what? Just like, well, kind of like Freaks Part 2, remember that we watched?
Yeah.
It's one of those that, you know, they all have a special little ability, but yeah, it's yeah, also yeah. a little bit different from person to
oh,
person.
Oh, I see what you're
so
saying.
So what I'm saying is oh, that okay. there might be more of those down the line that might be able to do more yeah. cool special things. And
yeah.
I hope that's what they are building towards.
I wouldn't be too surprised if that were the case, and we got in further installments, if we got people who had additional powers.
Yes.
You know?
You know what? Truly, I was trying to think about this, and maybe I'll have more imagination tomorrow, but I'm not even sure what could be like a power that they could do.
I don't know, but there could be other stuff like to do with maybe telekinesis, or some sort of like ability like that to a degree, like, you know, moving stuff.
Yeah.
With your mind, whatever. I don't know. Some other thing like that that's sort of connected to that type of ability in the first place. Because, I mean, we have differences in this film. Obviously, Gemma's character can do a thing that other people cannot or other people have not been able to previously in previous films. And, you know, Claire's character is a medium, but in a different way. And she's not somebody she's not somebody who does the same exact thing. She doesn't astral project in the same way. Exactly. So...
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know why, but one of the maybe more powerful characters would be someone who has the power of going into the further or possessing the demons. Fucking Uno reverse that shit.
Yeah, possessing the demons would probably be an interesting thing to explore. Mm-hmm. I wonder
if maybe.
Maybe they'll do that at some point.
Maybe.
Thoughts.
A lot of thoughts. Let us know. Let us know in the comments. What do you guys think would be a cool power to have in this franchise world building situation?
Wow. Many words.
Words. Speaking of words, what is your third words?
Wow. Oh my god. Third favorite, I'm going to go, I think, with all of the different styles and looks to all of the different entities in the further. We got so many of them in this one, and the effects look cool. I really liked, like, physically, I really liked the way Cyrus looked. I thought he was pretty fucking cool. I'm not gonna lie, like, he was very tall and imposing, and he had like the, you know, like the blindfold on and stuff like that, but he looks very cool and menacing and interesting to look at. He looked like a really sketched out, like, old cult leader. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, he really just kind of looked like that. So that was cool. A lot of the different, like, ghost demon entities. We got to see a few other demons this time. There was something cool and blue with big horns that I was like, whoa, what's that? Yo,
I fucking saw that one. And that was really cool.
There was another one that was, like, a little similar to Lipstick Face Demon, but had, like, a gold face, like, gold and black. And I was like, what the fuck is that now?
I didn't see that.
I know. It's they're in, like, split second.
Oh, fuck.
And I was like, oh, cool. You know, that and a few of the other different types of ghosts, or ghost-like things and stuff like that. I thought they were really cool. I thought everybody looked great. All of, like, the makeup and the extra, like, effects and little things that they've put on people. I would be so curious to, like, explore different aspects of some of the different ones in other films. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, seriously, if they could explore some of the demons or even the lore of it, that would be really cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
You know, because as usual, like a diva, our lipstick face demon in this film waits till the 11th hour to just be like, I'm here, bitches. I bet you you thought I wasn't going to be in this one. Ha 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 ha. And then he's just like, bam. So, you know.
Yeah, he's there. It's cool. Also, the, what is it? The not the bride, but the one who.
Oh, yes. The bride in black. Yes.
The bride in black. Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Yep. We also get that one back. In it. We also got that one back in this one, too. That's true. Something that we haven't seen in a few installments, I don't think. Yeah. I don't remember.
It's from the second one.
The first one and the second one.
Well, the first one, it was only at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
so it's kind of the second one. But yeah. Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Fun.
Okay, speaking of the end a little bit, because like we said, there is a post-credit scene.
Well, mid-credit scene, yes.
Yeah, mid-credit scene, I guess. I mean, it's right after some of the main cast appears and everything. Okay, so we spoke about Keyface, which is the demon that is from the
fourth
movie
called
Last Key, right? And the whole point of that thing is that it has keys for nails, which is really fucked up and weird.
It sure is.
But, but from what we are given to understand in the fourth movie, and I'm not even sure if I caught on to this, and I only understood it maybe at the end of this one, is that that thing can open the red doors.
Yeah, like the different doors, because they're always saying there are different doors in the further, and they all are, everything behind them is something different.
Yeah, and like so there's could be, you know, something not too bad, but there's also could be some pretty powerful or crazy ass demons in there, right? So in the fifth one, the red door, they try to close the doors.
Yes.
Right? And they do.
Yes.
But apparently, when one door closes, another one opens as the saying goes.
Yes, is a little bit on the nose delivered via dialogue, but yes.
Yeah, it's literally kind of said like
that. It's a little much.
But the point is that the way that those doors open is because of that key phase demon. And we see that in the post-credit scene where he opens a closed door with his key finger.
With the finger.
I guess.
Yes.
Which is very interesting because that brings an implication of, is he the most important demon to get rid of?
I don't know. And I guess that would track because it's the demon that's been following Elise since she was a child and accidentally opened the door for it. So maybe.
Yeah. I think he might be the Thanos of this franchise.
I love, we're like, I can't think of anybody else.
Well, if Elise is one of the Avengers, then he's obviously the Thanos.
So Elise is Iron Man.
Yeah. Don't get into this debate. I'm not even going to continue this sentence.
No, it's too many.
It's going to be terrible.
It's too many.
Who's the more powerful one and stuff?
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, it's fine. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that's it because having that ability is, you know, very powerful, I would think.
Well, yeah. And in order for you to fully stop this and kind of close the loop, you're going to have to get rid of him.
Yeah. So. What choice do you have? Mm-hmm. Kill that motherfucker. I don't know. Maybe eventually that'll happen. I have no idea.
As
long as Lin Shaye is still willing to make these films, yes. I think they will continue to do so.
I think so. And they do well, so why not?
They do. Honestly, they generally do pretty well. They're crowd pleasers. And that brings me to my one, like, more major criticism of this movie, other than, like, I just mentioned some clunky dialogue and a couple of other things okay. There's no fucking Tucker and Specs in this movie.
I cannot believe.
They don't even have a cameo. Even in Red Door, they showed up as, like, on their YouTube channel or whatever to talk about ghost hunting things. And I was like, where are they? What the fuck?
I know, it sucks. They're so funny and great characters.
They've also been in every single other film. Yes. And I'm really disappointed that we've now broken the streak. Like, if I'm crazy, somebody comment, did we miss like an additional post-credit scene that I don't know about or something? Because if not, I'm annoyed if that's the case.
God damn it.
Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if that's the case, maybe, but fuck. Like, I was like, okay, well, I mean, it would have been nice to, you know.
I know. Seriously, there's so many things that kind of like are missed by not having these characters there. I also kind of, I guess I understand it because they've been replaced by Claire in a sense.
No,
although they
are.
Don't help get rid of the ghosts, but they are the in between.
Yeah, because they're not, they don't have an ability. Claire does.
Yeah.
So
that's it. So maybe that's why.
Maybe.
My biggest gripe with this is that their company name or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Thing, ghostly.
Oh, spectral.
Spectral sightings.
Sightings, that's it.
Spectral dash sightings. That apparently used to be a website back in the days, and then it's not a website anymore. And I went to check it, and I'm very sad because now it's just a domain for sale, and it is super expensive. It's like $2,000, and I think it's a missed opportunity because they could have been building so much hype with a website like this.
True.
You know,
you could have just keep it running and have funny blog updates and stuff.
Blog updates, whatever. Put some teasers in there. Yeah. Like, come on.
That's it. It would have been fun thing to do. Missed opportunity, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. You guys might want to fix that. Anyway. overall, that's it. Like, enjoyable time at the movie theater.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't have a bad time, particularly.
Agreed.
Yeah. That's it. I'm curious, I guess, to see if we are going to hear anything about any future installments sooner rather than later. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, we'll see.
It depends what the movie does, I guess.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, let us know, you know, in comments and things like that, if you are skipping this one, if you enjoyed it, if you didn't enjoy it, what you did or didn't like about it. You know, we're always curious to know what people's thoughts are and everything. You can follow us on all of our socials at Gravetone Pod. We are on all the platforms. I think. Pretty sure.
There's so many. I don't know.
Anymore. I don't know. We're on the main ones that people care about. probably a couple people don't either. we also have a website at gravetonepod.com. All of our episodes, of course, are archived there. We also have our horror movie picker quiz that you can always check out that we add new films to that we have seen regularly that we curate. So you answer a few questions and it gives you some suggestions of movies to watch tonight if you're like, fuck, I don't know what I want to put on because I can't make up my mind about anything.
It's like four clicks of a button, so
pretty much
very easy.
Yeah, so if you want to do that, you can go over to the website and check that out too. Like we mentioned, next week you're getting a double feature week because we are talking about Colony and also about Buddy, both of which I think are really worth seeing. So
do see it. Make it a double date, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever. Do both over the weekend or something fun. I don't know. Do a back-to-back. Ooh, fun. Whatever. Something fun to end the summer season, which is like rapidly coming to a close at this point. But you know what? That means all the better things are happening because we're heading into the fall. Guys, this movie, by the way, side note, this film is set like in the fall. You can see that it's like early-ish fall. And I saw it and I was like, oh, I can't wait for that. I just want it to get like a little cooler so I can wear a sweater and put shoes on. It's going to be great.
It is Megan's favorite season, in case you did not notice.
Love it so much. So I'm personally, I don't care. Everybody else is like, oh, summer's ending. I'm like, fuck that. I don't care. It's too hot. I don't like it. Anyway, hopefully you agree with me about that too. Anyway, until next week, guys, when you're getting us twice, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.